Hello everyone, welcome again to Heart to Heart. I thank the Lord for all that He's doing. I'm here to tell you the Lord has great plans for those who love Him. The Lord once told me that those who love God, people that really truly love the heart of God's will, they love Him for who He is, they are the ones who learn the most. Now John talked about how with the love of God, we can see. Without the love of God, we can't tell what's going on. It's like being in a dark in darkness. With the love of God, we can see. We can receive information quicker. The Lord can relate to those who truly love Him. And I've seen it for my own self, with my own eyes. People who have a heart of love, they understand the ways of God faster. They hold a better conversation. They understand, it changes their scope of everything. They understand even things like, I'm a mechanic, I have to explain mechanical things. Those that are loving, they adapt quick. They can receive information faster. That's one reason children from a good home can excel easier. They're around love. When you have the love of God in you, it advances your perception. And you're able to receive information. You're able to understand what other people stumble over. So when you choose to love on purpose, you put yourself in a greater advantage. Now, Jesus once made a statement that those who were forgiven much will love much. Now, that's naturally true. And because I had praying parents, a lot of things that I set out to do when I was a child, when I was a teenager growing up, before I got saved. See, my dad was a pastor, but I didn't get saved because I wasn't sure I'd do right. And I didn't want to do what they call play with God. I had a love for God and the things of God, but I couldn't see myself doing everything that was required. So for those, I didn't think I could make it. But I wanted to know how to be saved because I rode a motorcycle. I did dangerous things. And I wanted to know how to get saved. I did not want to go to hell. And I didn't want to betray God. Now that's just how I was. I'm sorry. That's the way it was. But that's the truth. So before I got saved, sometimes I set out to do things I know I had no business doing. And the Lord would interrupt me. When I got saved, I didn't do a lot of things that I heard other people did. I never did drugs, never got drunk, never even smoked a cigarette. A lot of things I did, a lot of things I didn't do. But some people, the Lord picked them up from the bottom, and they are so thankful that God saved them, and their love is strong, and they will not deny God, and they'll live the life. Now, I've seen all kind of people backslide, people that had a rough beginning, people had a good beginning. They go back to the world. But people who have a heart of love, they stay with God and they continue to learn. Now, Jesus didn't say that those who love much, those that were forgiven much, will love much no matter what. Because some people, they get to know the Lord. They were not forgiven them much. They realized they were forgiven of all things. But they didn't do a lot of dastardly deeds. They never killed anybody, nothing like that. But they got saved, and they're thankful. But as you get to know the Lord, your love can grow. He didn't say that just because you weren't forgiven much that your love can't grow. That's what I'm trying to say. That's what I was trying to get out. So I decided, I said, Lord, I want to love You more than everything. And I started confessing it. I even started praising God with confessions. And the song would say, I love Your will. And I'd sing about how I loved His will. And then I'd say, I love Your word. I love Your ways. I love Your people. And I say, I love You, Lord. I was confessing it by my faith. I was praising God, confessing it, and singing it all at the same time. And I meant every word of it. I was endeavoring to love God more than I knew how to. and it helped me to love him more. In the face of trials, I go back to my love of God. Another thing that will help you grow and receive information from the Lord. The first is love, and the second is obedience, even willing obedience. In order to have willing obedience, you have to have love. That's why Isaiah said, those who are willing and obedient, they will eat the good of the land. And it's true. It is true. If you're willing and obedient, that means you love God and you put action to it. Now, this is why. When you obey God and you do what he say do because he said it, you're going to learn. You started out acting by your faith because you couldn't see the end result from the beginning like he does. You're acting on what he said do because you love him and you're faithful with it. And sometimes the Lord have you to do things, you'll wonder why in the world does he want me to do that? Or why does he put it that way? And you don't have all the answers. But while you're in obedience, you're also in a state of reception. And you're going to see the handiwork of God unfold over time. And willing obedience puts you in a position to learn something you couldn't learn before. And here's why. When you're actively obedient to the will of God, it becomes wise for God to give you more information because you have a track record of being obedient. And the Lord can certainly trust you with more knowledge and wisdom. Understand this, the more you know, the more you have to, he'll hold you to a higher standard. If you know more and go and get in trouble, your chastisement will be greater than if you didn't know. And the Lord asked me, I kept wanting to know things. I kept asking questions, and the Lord showed me, had me to read about Samuel and Eli. And I read about Eli, how he didn't correct his sons, and then judgment came to his house. That was the first word, that was the first assignment that Samuel had, was to give Eli the word that about his children, about how he would end up, how he would be judged by God because he didn't correct his children. And then the Lord taught me, he said, now I got to tell you this, the more I teach you, you'll be held to a higher standard of accountability. In other words, if you get in trouble, your punishment will be more severe than if you didn't know. I said, and I thought he said, so he asked me, did he want me to continue teaching like he was teaching, like the questions I was asking? And I said, Lord, will I fall? He said, no. I said, will I backslide? Will I betray you? Do you see that me doing anything near that? He said, no. He said, but I have to tell you that. And I thought about it and thought about it. And I said, well, Lord, I want more. I want you to teach me all I can handle. And more. I want to be conditioned to receive information. And I said, I hate the ways of Satan. I will not give up to that creep. I want you to teach me all I can learn. And it honored God. God started teaching me some more. And I asked him all kind of questions. I will ask God anything. And a lot of things he taught me, I only teach what he put on my heart. Every broadcast, every radio broadcast, I teach what he put on my heart. And when you confess the word in faith, it works. You know, by Jesus' stripes we're healed. Nothing shall by no means hurt me. That's these are your defenses. And just last Sunday, Pastor brought something out. It was so wonderful, Pastor McCann. He said, your words of faith are your servants. They are there to serve you. When you speak the word in faith, those words are your servants. And he brought that out so beautifully by the Holy Spirit. You don't have to settle for any condition, situation, or any form of trouble. If you want to love God more, speak it, sing it, praise it. Take it. If you want to be more determined, speak it. And then say, I hate laziness. I hate lack. I hate slothfulness. Just like Israel was supposed to drive out the Canaanites out of that land, the Philistines and all of them. Drive them out. Amalekites, all of them. We're supposed to drive out everything that hinders us. Everything that exalts itself above the knowledge of God. We drive it out. We drive it out of our heart, out of our mind, out of our body. All sickness, all disease, all problems, allergies. Start speaking it. If you're allergic to watermelon, rebuke it. Find the word and rebuke it. Until watermelon doesn't bother you. If you're allergic to peanuts, start speaking it. Now I'm going to tell you something. A lot of people, if you have that allergy, some people can die if they get around peanuts. Start speaking it. Do something against that situation. I'm not telling you to eat the peanuts, but start speaking it in case you get around somebody that did something with peanuts so that you won't be in trouble. You know, even keep your EpiPen. That'll be a blessing. Until you get where you're going, do all that you know. Just like I listened to Rob Parsha this week when he found out that his son had autism. He said his son, the doctors gave him a life sentence, said he wouldn't be able to read, wouldn't be able to do this and that. He asked the Lord what to do. The Lord said, attack it biblically. Attack it supernaturally. Attack it naturally. And attack it with a seed. So you can sow seeds against things. And then I was watching him on YouTube. He was interviewed by Sid Roth. I love to watch Sid Roth. It's supernatural. You can pull it up and watch it yourself. But he explained how he used his faith and changed the facts on the ground. His son graduated college with a 4.0 average. He went from being autistic to brilliant by the word of God. And then Rob Parsha was healed of throat cancer. Healed. They wanted to operate on his vocal cords. But he overturned the attack of the devil. Because the great God's putting his third phase of ministry just began. And he has, the Lord promised him many souls he would win. He will win seven times the people that he already won in this age. Why? Because of the anointing. Now, when people go lukewarm, they become enemies to all the things of God. And they have the reputation of being God's people. The Lord Jesus once said that the Pharisees, they stand in the gate of heaven and block it. And when they search high day and night to find a proselyte. A proselyte is a Gentile that they convert to be they convert them to Judaism. And he said they caused them to be 10 times the child of hell than they were before. Now, when people are lukewarm, they don't have it. Love is the engine. 1 Corinthians 12 talks about love. Without love, you're just like a tinkling cymbal. Without love, everything has changed. When people don't have a strong love of God, they are not going to treat the holy things of God with the respect it deserves. They're not going to regard the Holy Spirit the same. When the Lord gives them dreams, they take it lightly. Even if it's their life on the line, the Lord's trying to protect them from some tragedy. They are so lethargic, they don't even listen. Being lukewarm takes you, it's a dimming of the lights. You ever try to read in a room that and it's got a lamp, a dim lamp in it, to a soft light, You can't hardly read. You can't hardly see. The love of God makes it bright where you can see everything. Lukewarm is dull. Everything is dull. You lust after other things. You have a love for the world. You have a tolerance for the world. We love the people of the world, but not the world. We hate the world system. The world system is Satan's system. And when you tolerate something over there, it works like leaven against you. It gets in your being, starts in your mind, the desires of your flesh. And it's trying to work its way in your heart. And once it gets in your heart, it will consume you. And it will turn you into what Saul became. King Saul, that is. Not Apostle Paul, but King Saul. He went from trying to nail David to the wall with a javelin to killing the priest. Now, David was wise. He operated by the anointing of God, and he listened to Abigail. Now, the advice of Abigail helped David to grow from glory to glory. She helped him to see something he didn't see. He was about to make a huge mistake. That's why the Holy Spirit came to guide us. We may love God. We may have good intentions, but we can be very wrong. We need the guidance of the Holy Spirit. That way, every step along the way, we can build correctly. The laws of sowing and reaping, there's nothing wrong with them. They always work 100% of the time. They can work for you or against you. If you sow something evil, you got to reap something evil. If you sow something, if you operate in the will of God, you have to be blessed. Now, here's an analogy. The company you work for, they may have hired somebody that irritates you and you wish they'd leave or get fired or whatever. You wish they could get rid of them. Sometimes you wish they'd just win the lottery and leave. But nothing can happen to that person because they're not all bad. Sometimes people did a lot of things right and they have to be rewarded. This works both ways. Some people are going to live, Solomon put it this way in Ecclesiastes. There are a righteous man that shortens his life and an unrighteous man that lengthens his life. By doing what's right, you change the facts on the ground and you change the facts in your future. Even though some people or boss may just want to fire a good person because he don't like God. But that person, they love God, they do what's right. And the enemies of that person want to see harm come to them. But they can't be hurt. Sometimes they can't be killed. Depending on what they did and what God is preparing them to do. They actually become immune to the disasters of this world. Because of the laws of sowing and reaping. And some people did wrong too much. They sold drugs, they harmed a lot of people, and they're not going to live as long as they would have. Even if they get saved, they're following God, they do things that will be a blessing to many people, but they already put something in motion that's not going to be undone. They can't live past a certain point because of what they did. This is how the laws of sowing and reaping works. There may not be nothing wrong with their body, but they will die, and the doctors won't understand why. It's because of what they sold. Jeremiah put it this way. He said, and now this is Jeremiah 17:11. He said, "No man that gets riches and not by right, he'll leave them." He said, as a partridge sits on eggs and hatches them not, so is any man that gets riches and not by right. He will leave him in the midst of his days, and at his end will be a fool. There will be, if it's not death, I'll just use death for an example. But when you do things that and that harm other people, you're putting spiritual debt on your life. You're setting yourself up for a loss, and you will have it. If you stole money and you got away, you moved away, the police didn't catch you, you're still going to lose what you stole. Nobody ever got rich the wrong way and kept it and lived happily ever after without problems. That money always leaves. It's impossible to change what God already put in motion in the first place. He put the laws of sowing and reaping in motion before you did your sin and before you did your blessings. You have to be blessed. If you've been doing God's work, doing His will, being a blessing everywhere, you have to be rewarded in this life. Now, I'm going to come back to where we were. I had to say that because it's going to become important to the teaching. David is at a point, he's endeavoring to do all that's in God's heart. He wants to do what God say do. You can even read the Psalms that he wrote during these times. And certain situations happen and he'd write a psalm. That gives you insight into how he felt, into how he saw God. And it's a blessing. All right. We made it to chapter 26 in 1 Samuel. And verse 1 reads, "And the Ziphites came unto Saul to Gibeah, saying, Doeth not David hide himself in the hill of Hachilah, which is before Jeshimon? Then Saul arose and went down to the wilderness of Ziph, having 3,000 chosen men of Israel with him, to seek David in the wilderness of Ziph. And Saul pitched in the hill of Hachilah, which is before Jeshimon, by the way. But David abode in the wilderness, and he saw that Saul came after him into the wilderness. David therefore sent out spies, and understood that Saul was coming in very deed. And David arose and came to the place where Saul had pitched. And David beheld the place where Saul lay, and Abner the son of Ner, the captain of his host. And Saul lay in the trench, and the people pitched around about him. Then answered David and said to Ahimelech the Hittite, and Abishai the son of Zeruiah, brother of Joab, saying, Who will go down with me to Saul to the camp? And Abishai said, I will go down with thee. So David and Abishai came to the people by night, and behold, Saul lay sleeping within the trench, and his spear stuck in the ground at his bolster. His bolster is his pillow. But Abner and the people lay around about him. Then said Abishai to David, God has delivered thine enemy into thine hand this day. Now therefore, let me smite him, I pray thee, with the spear, even to the earth at once. I will not smite him a second time. And David said to Abishai, Destroy him not, for who can stretch forth his hand against the Lord's anointed and be guiltless? David said furthermore, As the Lord lives, the Lord shall smite him, or his day shall come to die, or he shall descend into battle and perish. The Lord forbid that I shall stretch forth my hand against the Lord's anointed. But I pray thee, take now the spear that is at his bolster, and a cruse of water, and let us go. So David took the spear and the cruse of water from Saul's bolster, and they got him away, and no man saw it, nor knew it, neither awake, for they were all asleep, because a deep sleep from the Lord was fallen upon them. If the Lord be for you, who can be against you? God was with those men. Soldiers don't sleep light. I'm going to say that again. Soldiers do not sleep light. This is a miracle. Real soldiers don't sleep light. And they always have somebody up. I'm going to read this part again. David took the spear and the cruse of water from Saul's bolster, and they got him away, and no man saw it, nor knew it, neither awake, for they were all asleep, because a deep sleep from the Lord was fallen upon them. If the Lord ever gives you something to do, and you have enemies that want to stop you, say something. Speak the word of God. The Lord is with you just like he was with David. It doesn't matter what people say they're going to do, what they want to do, how they tell you you shouldn't do something. Even if they threaten you, do it anyway. Do it God's way. And the Lord will cause your enemies to back off. He will cause them to go to sleep. And you got to tell Satan that he can't bother you. Protect the work of God. If God wants to do something in your life, protect that work. Speak life to it. And speak failure to your enemies. Sometimes I say every evil word spoken against me is dead in Jesus' name. And sometimes I say every evil work against me is failure. And I tell Satan, you can't use nobody against me. Nobody against my life. Nobody against my house. Nobody against my friends. You can't hurt my people to get to me. If the Lord, every assignment the Lord give me, that's what I do. I say, Satan, you cannot hurt anybody in my father's house. Nobody in my house. My children. My father's house is my siblings and their descendants. My house is my children. And one day when they have, if the Lord tarry, they'll have descendants. I'll have descendants and I protect them. Because the enemy will try to use others to get to you. But no matter what happens, I'm going to obey God. This work lives. Because I said so. And the word of God is true. What I bind on earth is bound in heaven. What I loose or allow or command is commanded in heaven. Heaven's backing me up. Heaven's saying what I'm saying. I'm doing my part. Jesus is doing his part. Angels are dispatched and deployed to perform and fulfill my needs. I have more than enough. I have the finances I need to perform this work. I have abundance and no lack. I command my angels to bring me much cash. To feed the work of God. It's not by might nor by power. Jesus said, my yoke is easy, my burden light. I'm yoked to Jesus. I do the speaking of faith. I do the works. I do the speaking. He backs it up. We work together. All right, and you see the hand of work of God with David. So a deep sleep fell on them. Verse 13. Then David went over to the other side and stood on the top of a hill afar off, a great space being between them. And David cried to the people and to Abner, the son of Ner, saying, answerest thou not, Abner? Then Abner answered and said, who art thou that cries to the king? And David said to Abner, art not thou a valiant man? And who is like to thee in Israel? Wherefore then hast thou not kept thy lord the king? For there came one of the people in to destroy the king, thy lord. This thing is not good that thou hast done. As the Lord lives, ye are worthy to die, because ye have not kept your master, the Lord's anointed. And now see where the king's spear is, and the cruse of water that was at his bolster, his pillar. Verse 17. And Saul knew David's voice and said, is this thy voice, my son David? And David said, it is my voice, my lord, O king. And he said, wherefore doeth my Lord this thus pursue after his servant? For what have I done? Or what evil is in my hand? Now therefore I pray thee, let my Lord the king hear the words of his servant. If the Lord have stirred thee up against me, let him accept an offering. But if they be the children of men, cursed be they before the Lord, for they have driven me out this day from abiding in the inheritance of the Lord, saying, go serve other gods. Now therefore, let not my blood fall to the earth before the face of the Lord, for the king of Israel is come out to seek a flea, as when one doeth hunt a partridge in the mountains. Then said Saul, I have sinned. Return, my son David, for I will no more do thee harm, because my soul was precious in thine eyes this day. Behold, I have played the fool, and have erred exceedingly. And David answered and said, behold, the king's spear, and let one of the young men come over and fetch it. The Lord render to every man his righteousness and his faithfulness. For the Lord delivered thee into my hand today. But I would not stretch forth my hand against the Lord's anointed. And behold, as thy life was much set by this day in mine eyes, so let my life be much set by in the eyes of the Lord. And let him deliver me out of all tribulation. Then Saul said to David, blessed be thou, my son David. Thou shalt both do great things, and also shalt still prevail. So David went on his way, and Saul returned to his place. Remember, Saul was among the prophets. He would prophesy. This was a prophecy spoken by Saul. I'm going to read it again, verse 25. Then Saul said to David,